Hello, my fabulous radio listeners, and welcome to the most special episode of Sex Talk you've ever heard. Tonight's topic is, I am your tool. I'm your host, DJ Corey. DJ Dr. Sexopoulos is out for the evening.
Doing research,
I believe. Getting lubed up at the manhole. Yeah, if Pittsburgh doesn't have a gay bar called the Manhole, it should. My special guest, actually, tonight we're doing something very special and unique. One of the founding members of the Sex Talk program, Pablo, is with us tonight, and we are going to be handing off the reins of the show to Pablo. Special friend of the show, DJ Honus, is also here. Honus, thank you for
bearing my soul.
Being my special friend. So, DJ Pablo, welcome back to the show, and thank you. I'm now...
Well, thank you.
If this were Star Trek, I would be handing you the, like...
Many of the current thousands of listeners, or rather the three original listeners of the show, probably are not among the current thousands.
Well, we had a guy that called last week who said that he's listened to the show for, like, 5 years.
5 years?
Some guy. He didn't give us his name, of course. They never do.
Oh, please. But please do call, because you're the only one that remembers the time back then when things were really boring and honest and earnest.
Well, he said the show has gotten boring now, too. He called last week, or maybe it was 2 weeks ago, and he said... We're the only good thing on Tuesday nights. Our show should be 2 hours long. We spend a lot of time in cold foreplay. We spend 45 minutes in cold. He wanted the show to be 2 hours long because the first 45 minutes, he said, like now,
like now,
are painful and boring, and then it gets kind of spicy at the end. And so,
part of your appeal is your ostensible shyness that only breaks through after much effort. So he should not complain. It's the cold foreplay is necessary for the explosion of warmth and
for the sticky explosion of my warm
absolutely
man gift.
Explosion of bitterness too, I might say sometimes. Yeah. So who is DJ Honus?
What?
Who is DJ Honus? Who are you? You've been here a lot? I've been out of town, you know, exploring different planets, so I have not been paying attention.
This is my third appearance.
Your third appearance. So the audience knows you. I'm sorry to have implied otherwise. Where does the name Honus come from?
The baseball player.
Oh, I'm afraid is he a pitcher or a catcher?
He was a third baseman, I think. Shortstop, I don't remember. I actually don't like baseball, long story, same last name, blah blah blah.
Okay.
Doesn't matter.
Well, the actual topic of the show.
Was Honus Wagner a pirate?
Yes, he was.
Pittsburgh parent.
There's a big statue of him down at the stadium.
There were many Pittsburgh Pirates. What's the connection?
Well, I'm just wondering. There's a baseball connection and also a butt pirate connection.
The butt pirate?
Okay.
Well, the real subject of the show, I'm afraid, has to be. I don't know if it's going to go anywhere. So more than ever, we need the help of the...
Listening audience.
Of the listening audience. We're going to explore, or try to explore, because we are nothing compared to him, the deeper intimacies, sexual intimacies, of course, of DJ Corey.
Many have tried. Many trained psychotherapists have tried to unlock the sexual puzzle that is the enigma.
Oh, I know.
That is my persona. Many have tried. Actually, I wanted to start with, I mean, you're in charge, of course, but I was fascinated in the drive over here. I found myself fascinated by when we were talking, you were rubbing my leg, and
it was so close to the stick shift, or rather the stick shift.
You made some comment which I didn't quite understand. Like you said earlier when I came, previously 10 years ago when I started grad school, you said we were talking about my attractiveness. And I said that my attractive years were over and I had kind of let myself go. And you said, well, when you came here, you were somebody that I definitely noticed. Well, and I thought there was some kind of like, was that a powerful homosexual attraction between us?
Well, the audience is very familiar perhaps with your... lack of self-confidence. So they probably have no idea what you're in reality. They have probably met many people with low self-confidence who were very attractive or interesting or appealing. So they probably won't have any trouble believing that when you first arrived in this city, you were, in my words, were somebody who could not be not noticed.
Could not be not noticed.
Well, you were, you had your usual shy wit and all that, but you were also buff. You were thin and muscular, and I'm not gay. But I was thinking maybe I should be gay because
really?
You're there. Yeah.
Do you think right now if I tried to turn you gay, like how likely would that be to succeed compared to 10 years ago?
Right now if you tried to turn me heterosexual or gay, it would be really tough because, you know, I'm so old by now that my sexual life is nearing an end. But you tried a little bit. You offered me a massage because you were taking massage classes.
I did? That's so transparent. Massage classes were great, by the way.
You meant it to be transparent, I believe. And I was very flattered. It's just that at the time I was having enough trouble experiencing the novelty in a particular woman that I was seeing at the time, not for very long. And it wasn't really for more novelty at the time. But I believe you wanted to make it transparent.
I mean, was it a gay come on, or was it? The thing that's cool about full body massage. I mean, I took it from this class. What's her name? She's still. I think she would appreciate the plug. Madeline Hershey is her name.
Madeline.
This fabulous woman, Madeline Hershey. She's like in, you know, Edgewood or what's that place? Braddock Avenue.
Swissville.
Regent Square. Something like that. She's got some kind of massage place down there, and she had a full body massage class. I had a full body massage, and I thought, wow, this is such a great feeling. I wish I had the power to give this to others, and it's actually a really great skill to have because it's a lot of work, but it makes the person your slave. I mean, afterwards, after you've given someone a massage, they're so grateful that they're basically willing to do anything.
I had one full body massage, but it was in Acapulco with some 40-year-old guy, you know, caressing my
buttocks.
So that would be similar to if you gave him a full body massage now. Yeah.
Well, we could do it, except that it would be boring radio. But I'm game. But no, I'm pretty sure that you weren't just offering a massage, because after I, you know, tried to smile appreciatively, tried to convey how much I appreciated, you know, you told me. The great thing about you is that if you want to have sex, you would just say yes, and if you don't, you'll just say no, and there's no problem either way. So you were definitely thinking about sex.
I told you that?
Yeah.
I said the great thing about you, Pablo, is...
Yeah.
Well, that is a great thing. Do you want to have sex with me?
Yeah, giving enough time. Because, I need to be appreciated for what I am, not just for what I can do with my powerful member. But
wow, I mean, you'll notice I'm disrobing as we talk here.
Yes,
it's hot and it's steamy in here.
It is kind of steamy, and even though the weather has turned outside, but in WRCT it's always warm.
Well, it's because of those sports line guys. They leave behind, you know, the sickly scent of testosterone mixed with, what is it? Our producer, now, what's the cologne that all of our sports line guys wear? You know, Chaps or, Polo. Probably Polo.
Polo, I'm
not too sure. Hugo Boss.
Aqua Velva.
Oh, that's aftershave, I think. So, but anyway, I'm sorry, I got sidetracked into my little...
That's the question I have. Is like, you know, everybody when they're like 25 is like, I mean... You know, when you're younger and your hormones are raging and so on, you are attractive and you are part of the whole sexual scene. Like when you're an aging, you know, radio show producer, like radio show host, international celebrity like myself, is there any sex appeal left? That's the question I want to pose to you. Like if I went back to the gym, lost 40 pounds, worked out, got a good haircut, got a penis implant. or is it too late? I mean, that's the key question. Like
what attracts you about young people, DJ Hannes? I know what attracts me.
I know what attracts me.
Answer.
Are you attracted to young people?
I'm attracted to anybody who moves.
Interesting.
Well, who moves? But see, we move less than the young people, and it's not how many muscles we have. Or what clothes we wear, although how many muscles we have and what clothes we wear show that we care and we have energy. No. But what I like about young people is that they... What were you saying in the car? It was very eloquent, and I cannot possibly replicate it.
Well, see, I mean, I don't know if this is a case of arrested development or what, but I just find, you know, when I see some sort of like young, sort of 19 or 20 year old straight guy walking around, there's a certain kind of swagger that I find very appealing. I mean, typically the person is still kind of enthusiastic, kind of has a certain amount of charisma, just kind of excited about like just being, you know, alive. And so I find sort of young people energy, even if it's kind of obnoxious and a little bit kind of egotistical, I find it kind of exciting to watch. And so I think I was talking about that a little bit. And also just sort of, you know, 10 years of grad school will do this to anybody, I think. But there's a certain kind of cynicism that you get sort of. I think as anybody ages, you start to have your initial, your youthful enthusiasm and optimism turns into a kind of regret or a kind of longing or a kind of sort of sad reflection on the past, you know, missed opportunities and missed, you know, disappointments and so on. And so seeing someone who's still sort of young and still kind of idealistic, that kind of thing can be sort of intoxicating. And, you know, on one hand, you know, it can lead to, you know, that same kind of sort of youthful foolishness can lead to, like, excesses like, you know, boo.com, right? I mean, you know, the whole internet explosion was largely fueled on sort of greed plus youthful exuberance. But,
yeah, cluelessness about what you are, but that is so attractive. So you could be that, right? There's a bitterness that is entirely draped upon your real personality that is just preventing you from being a sex god. It's not the body, and it's not the clothes, and it's or the haircuts. It's just a certain attitude about life, a certain maturity mixed with...
Do we want to give out the phone number before we get too far into troll talk here?
Go ahead.
I don't remember what it is.
412-621-9728.
Thank you.
Oh, my God, there's an antenna in here. That's pretty cool. Sorry.
So Pablo was pointing out that it's attitude, right? It's a lot about your attitude, how you present yourself. Mm-hmm. Not just your physical looks.
Do you buy that? Do you believe it?
Sure. I think physical looks can be like the initial attractor, right? But I guess we're just looking for a fling. But if you want any kind of extended excitement in a relationship, you got to have that attitude.
I'm saying more than that. I'm saying that if you have the attitude, you can be much more visible to the young ones that just want to fling than, you know, somebody who has everything else going.
Well, do you think I should take E? Would that help? I mean, at this point, I mean, come on. I mean, at some point, you know, your personality is the one you've got. You might as well just face it. Right? There's only so much reinventing that you can do in your
mid-30s. You only have to pretend for 10 minutes to get that guy interested in you. And then he'll see the full blossoming personality that is below it. And you'll have no problem keeping them in your little trap. Yeah. So we urgently need a call because, you know, what do I know about anything? 412-621-9728.
So what attracted you to your current significant other?
Well, you know, that's actually sort of interesting because we've been together more than 7 years now, going on 8. And I think I got very lucky because I was initially attracted to him for all the sort of shallow reasons that I've talked about. He was young looking. He's actually about my age, but sort of has sort of, you know, boyish features or whatever, little youngish features. And, you know, he was fun and funny and just kind of like, he had this kind of charisma which I really liked, but you know, and then as we got to know each other, I actually learned out that we're actually compatible on this deep sort of level, and you know, we get along really well, and there's a kind of intellectual connection and so on. But at first, it was all like this tragic, you know. I was attracted to him because he, you know, I mean, the sad thing is that there's probably, you know, other potential matches that I rejected because the superficial, my superficial criteria didn't match. And I think it's sort of sad that happens all the time, that we don't see the inner person. Like, you and I could be very compatible, Pablo, but you reject me because of, yeah.
Because?
Why do you reject me? Probably because I'm not a woman. Well, if I became a woman, could we have a relationship then? Like, if I made that final cut, that took that final.
Yeah. Well, you're better than many women I know.
Wow. Yeah. Better at what?
Well, I think between the two of us, there would be so much wallowing on our inabilities that it would just be pathetic to pathetic.
So what do you think about it? I mean, I think that's probably true. I mean, what do you think about the old truism that opposites attract? I mean, I actually, in my current partner, I actually kind of like that, because in the same way that I'm somewhat introverted and shy in many ways, he's rather extroverted, and so I sort of feed off of his energy in a way. Do you...
He's extroverted?
Yeah. I mean, are you saying no? I mean, in certain ways, like, we're both kind of paradoxical, because I'm introverted and yet I have a sex talk show. He's initially very shy, but once he gets comfortable with people, he's very kind of spazzy and very energetic. And so there's kind of a combination. I'm not going to say anything more. Ask me a question.
How was he your first significant other?
Yes. Yeah, that's also kind of interesting. I mean, like, I think, I don't know how usual this is, but, like, when I first came to Pittsburgh, like, I think I wanted to somehow have some kind of gay contact. Like, I identified myself as homosexual. I mean, which is kind of, finally, like, all throughout college I was pretty closeted. Like, I knew I probably wanted, I mean, I wanted to, like, have some kind of relationship or boyfriend or at least some sexual contact or something, but I didn't know sort of how to get it or how to make that happen. I mean, I wanted, basically wanted Leo DiCaprio or Ryan Phillippe just to, like, be my little friend. And, the only other kind of experience I had before that was I had a couple of really close friends. One close friend who, as we became best friends, it just sort of naturally fell into kind of a sexual relationship. So that's the way I thought it always happened, that when once you made friends. I mean, that's not the way. I mean, I knew it wasn't. It's not the way I thought it happened, but it seemed to be. That was the pattern I was trying to repeat. I'd make somebody and get really close, and it was just natural that the next step after friendship would be
hot sex
and intimacy. But and so I spent kind of my whole college career sort of waiting for that to happen again, and it never did, although it almost did a couple of times. It was very frustrating because I couldn't figure out why. I would get extremely close to these people and they would sort of want intimacy, but then sort of back off at the same time. And so it was very confusing to me. And so, when I came to graduate school, I decided, finally it was going to be different, and I was going to be like a fully actualized member of the gay community. So I dated a few people, and it was kind of okay. Although I never really, because of this problem I alluded to earlier. I was attracted to the type of person that I wasn't likely to get along with well. I was attracted to a certain set of qualities.
Which kind?
Oh,
youthful features. You alluded to that.
Yeah, I guess sort of youthful features and sort of I guess I have to think about it this for a minute. I guess the real problem was that I would only sort of go out with people that I was strongly kind of sexually attracted to without sort of finding out first whether I liked them or whether we had anything in common or whether we had personalities that were compatible.
And this was obviously new when you got to Pittsburgh because before you were looking the other way first.
I mean, maybe this is a universal truth for everyone, but you know, I would find it quite surprising that I would have these relationships which would be kind of great and intense for 2 or 3 weeks, and then suddenly we'd both be wondering, you know, suddenly one of us would invariably stop calling the other. And it was really, I found this very stressful, and it was sort of draining my soul away because I couldn't figure out, like,
the story of my life.
Why would I have these multiple short relationships? And so I actually, by the time I met my lover, I had actually given up. I decided that I was going around in the wrong way, and I wasn't going to do that anymore. I wasn't going to date anybody anymore. I was just going to, like, you know, make friends and just sort of search for quality relationships in my life. And not
so your adventure had failed, I guess, when you moved to Pittsburgh. You were going to be a full-fledged member of the gay community, whatever that is. Maybe you can enlighten us, DJ Hannes.
Well, it means we wear a thong and nipple clamps, basically.
Have sex in bathrooms, you know. All I know is from prick your ears up, or prick up your ears, or whatever.
Have you ever had, DJ Pablo, have you ever had sex in a bathroom?
Have
you ever been propositioned in a bathroom?
No.
You've had sex in a bathroom?
I had sex in a bathroom, but it wasn't propositioned.
Public bathroom?
Propositioned outside, yeah.
This sounds like a story we have to hear.
At the Carnegie.
You had sex in the bathroom at the Carnegie? With a man or with a woman?
It was with a woman, I'm afraid.
The men's restroom?
The story is not as interesting as you
Well, no, it is.
It's even more interesting.
No, it's fascinating. So
no, because if you get caught, people just kind of smile and ha-ha.
They do? Oh.
Well, we kind of got caught. Because afterwards we moved to the stage of the music hall. And
are you serious? Was there like a? I presume there was not a performance going on.
No, not at the moment. But not anyway. It's not about me today.
I think. Well, just hang on. I mean, we've got. Let's stick with what we know here. So you're at the Carnegie Art Museum. And this is someone you met there? Like, was there a love connection that you made there, or did you actually go with this person?
The story is not as interesting as it might sound in the context of, you know, gay sex in public bathrooms.
Still, let's go with it. Well, I insist.
Yeah, well, so I had met her an hour before.
Really?
Yeah.
For the first time? I mean, was that a date that you'd arranged? Or you
well, this was, I was trying to start a new career, and I was attending a conference in my new field.
Wow.
And we met at what is that restaurant? The Great Scott on Craig Street, you know. It's called something else now.
Union Grill? No.
You've been here long enough to know, yeah.
Hmm.
But, we had a couple of drinks, and then we went to the conference banquet, which was at the Carnegie, and
you met this woman at the conference?
I was youthful at the time, you know.
I'll say.
Yeah.
So you went to this, so how does this work? I mean, like, literally,
no,
so there you are, like, at the banquet hall. You're talking shop. You're like, boy,
I'm not talking shop.
I would like to.
It was all like, I hate talking shop, and we're going to try to shock everybody else here. But we happened to meet each other first, so we tried to shock each other. So we were saying all these stupid things at a conference, and so we just kept talking about anything but work.
And so, but
which was good because I didn't know anything about the subject.
So you had a few drinks, you're having a nice time, but it hadn't become physical yet.
We were trying to shock each other, right? It's like you make sexual comments in a thoroughly professional setting just to say, look, I'm not like you, you know.
Oh, I like this. Have you ever done this?
Nope.
How do you start a conversation like that?
Well, you don't start a conversation about sex, but you try to turn everything professionally into something with some human angle to it, even if it's false.
Interesting. Okay, so you're
with a woman, well, it's going to be, you know, about sex of some sort, if you're hetero, I guess.
Interesting. So there you are. So you're doing this kind of verbal flirtation, sort of moonlighting
right.
style. But still, okay, then what? Like,
well, then we were kind of caught in a trap because we had started to flirt savagely. Imagine, you know, I would never flirt at a party like that, you know, because at a conference you don't expect to be allowed to. So it's more like, I don't care about networking. I'm here because I am myself and fuck.
Yeah, definitely.
I got that, like, all of you, you know. So So the George Clinton, man, he's quite the man. So anyway, the So and then we were caught in that trap that we had started. We had started putting on all this aggressive, strong front, and she had started to do that too. And then how can you?
You're in a sexual trap, so you can't back. Well, I like that. So you
can't back.
You're in a semantic.
Put it all out and
semanto-sexual trap.
And we were both doubting. I imagine I was doubting. It's like, what did I get myself into? But it has a force of its own. It's a wheel that you cannot stop. You're just a mere human.
How true. And so, like, but so then there's this awkward moment where you're like, oh, what do I say next? And she's like,
well, but there had been a few drinks at the banquet in between.
Yeah.
That helps lubricate better than K jelly.
And so what? Did she just, like, take your hand and say, look, here, I want to show you something? I mean, specifically, how did you get?
Well, you could go into the darkened theater. The doors weren't locked. Mm-hmm. And we started.
She led you there?
Making out.
Well, wait, how did you just, you're at the buffet table. You're eating, like, little bacon-wrapped.
Bacon-wrapped, yes.
You know.
And little triangles of spinacopita kind of thing.
Yeah, that's horrible. Yeah, the trick is, how did you get to the darkened theater? Like, and this is what our listeners and what I need to know. Like, how do you make that move to get to the groping?
At the time, it was always coming naturally to me. And now, it never
I'm comes. Not satisfied with that answer.
I know you're not. I'm not either. And that's what I was saying. It doesn't matter how you look. It's just how you're feeling inside.
So you just said, hey, let's go.
I didn't say anything. It just happened. It's not something
I did consciously. Things don't just happen. Do you believe?
And I don't think it was something she was driving either. It was just, you don't stop yourself from thinking anything is possible. It's that sort of thing. And I know it sounds like old.
Not buying it.
All crap and new age, but I don't understand it myself. It was, you know, several years ago. It was another man. I'm not half the man I used to be, you know.
Okay, so you're obviously, you know, in denial about that part of it. But once you get to the darkened theater, you start making out.
Yeah, I start making out. I think she started that. I never started that kind of thing. I don't know why. I think I'm always afraid of rejecting, either being rejected or just being slapped because I'm just a pig of a man, you know, or something.
Yes.
Much easier for the woman to start than they do, so. And that's it.
It's not that, because you're making out in the darkened theater for a while, and then you end up in the bathroom, some bathroom.
Well, because we were on the theater, and there were people that might come in, so we went to the bathroom, and then.
Did people come in there?
No. There are many bathrooms at the Carnegie. Closer to the dinosaurs, the bathrooms are not used very much. But then we had another thrust in the stage because at the time, I guess we were more comfortable or more unconscious. I don't know.
Actually, on the stage.
Yeah, so my watch dropped during this performance. And I didn't notice until the next morning. So I called the Carnegie. And I asked if, you know, if they had seen a watch. Now, meanwhile, while we were doing this stuff, there were guards coming through and, you know, they were closing the place down and stuff. And I saw at least one face on the window. I thought it might be a friend of mine or something. I don't know. And as soon as I said, I left the watch there, you know, have you seen it? This room full of women that worked at the Carnegie started laughing. I could hear it over the phone. So I said, sure, sure, come over and get it, honey. You know, that kind of stuff.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So to them it was humorous that you were having sex in the Carnegie.
Why?
Well, they thought it was funny that you had been caught doing this, right?
Yeah, actually, that was, yeah. Back then, the whole world seemed to be smiling at me, you know. Everybody seemed to be completely tolerant of anything that one could do with the full spirit of humanity inside. So I didn't find it unusual, but yes, you're right. It was extremely unusual that people would be kind of very pleasant about it. Yeah.
I don't know if it's unusual or not.
I think, like, I mean, isn't it, like, if you were having, like, gay sex on the stage at the Carnegie, don't you think people would be opposed to that and they would find that
kind of gross? They would find that disgusting and call for, you know, a reason for you to be arrested for like lewdness.
Well, what about lesbian sex? Because we know straight men.
What
is lesbian sex?
Well, lesbian. I thought you had
two women.
This is a Bethian. And that's like Shakespeare or something. I don't know.
Because I mean, I wonder if the traditional like male fantasy about lesbian sex would extend to like the security guards wanting to watch two lesbians go at it.
Only if they were lipstick lesbians, right? Mm. Most heterosexual men have this vision of lipstick lesbians.
Lipstick lesbian?
Surely you know the standard stereotype about the two types of lesbians. The sort of.
I'm afraid I'm.
The sort of tomboy lesbian, you know, tool belt and overalls and. Wearing a mullet, and a lipstick lesbian, the sort of very glamorous, traditionally sort of feminine-looking kind of lesbian. I mean, there are more than two, I'm sure.
So to judge from the lack of calls, I think our stories, as we know, are very pedestrian, and I hope somebody out there has some more interesting ones of any sort.
Well, you know, I mean, sometimes the reason people don't call is because, like, we got a naked guy in West Mifflin who listens to the show every week, and I think they...
Naked guy? He's always naked, or just when he listens?
Just when he listens, and I think he gets a little busy during the show, so that could be why he hasn't called.
I also think that if they caught an older couple, heterosexual couple, having sex in the museum, they would be less... They would find it less humorous, right? But when it's young people, they think, oh, those crazy young people, they'll have sex anywhere. Ha, ha, ha.
Well, I saw Driving Miss Daisy last week. I mean, if they're really old, they might consider it cute again. I mean, if they...
Or they might consider they need to lock the people away. Right?
Especially if one was black and the other one was white and, you know, all that stuff, right?
No. Well, I don't want to give away the movie, but I don't think... I don't think Morgan Freeman and Jessica Tandy actually got it on. At least, I saw it on Lifetime. Maybe they cut out the hot, like, sex scene. But I think it was really about their platonic friendship.
Yeah.
Although, I don't know. Maybe I'm in denial about...
No, but DJ Honus is totally right, right? I mean, everything is forgiven from youth because everybody has that longing and... what else did you say?
The longing, the charisma, the sort of... Also, this is just sort of the lack of layers of cynicism, you know, they...
They don't mean bad. They don't mean to offend.
I was talking for a little bit about being comfortable in your body, and, you know, there's something kind of interesting about someone who doesn't have all these layers of self-examination and layers of self-doubt and just sort of, like, is a free spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that appealing. Is that way Brenda from Wexford, our occasional caller and occasional guest, is that way. I think she's very... I think our producer remembers Brenda from Wexford. Hippie girl, kind of easy to like, easy to get along with. Sexy as the day is long.
Not yet crushed by the reality of the world.
Exactly. You know, you
what a dark vision. Yeah, it's exactly that vision that we're trying to get away from.
Yeah, it's like, I don't, you just want to go to a WTO.
WTO, World Trade Organization?
Yeah, she's the kind of person that would, like, go to, like, one of those WTO things and protest
right.
And, like, you know, sing songs about the proletariat.
And not for the experience of being together with thousands of people, but really to protest. Yeah. That is what I find most fascinating and appealing, perverse, sort of.
Yeah, if not contrary to all reason.
Yeah.
I have a question to ask you about protests at some point, DJ Corey, but I don't know if I want to interrupt the flow of the conversation.
Please.
The flow of a glacier.
Did you hear about the arrests in Egypt?
Oh, of these homosexual guys?
Yeah.
Something about it, but please, tell us more.
Well, I got this thing from HRC, well, Action Website.
Human Rights, something or another.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So there was apparently some, like, the police raided some bar. They didn't say gay bar. They said bar where gay men are known to frequent.
Well, it's probably more accurate. The bar itself is not gay.
But they arrested, like, 25 guys, I assume, because they're gay, though they never actually said that in the article I was reading. But their trial starts tomorrow, so they want everybody to call the Egyptian embassy and consulates and call for the release of these people. But I never heard the whole story. Like, the only place I've heard the story is from them. I haven't seen anything on the news or anything. I was curious.
Well, I think such efforts are very worthwhile, but people have to understand that the separation of powers is valid everywhere, and just, like, Janet Reno couldn't get several foreign citizens who were killed in Texas freed for violating international law. The Egyptian consulate probably can't do much with the Egyptian judges.
So what's the name of the website? Is it HRC.org or HRCF.org?
I think it's HRC.org, Human Rights Campaign. Right. Yeah, you sign up, they send out action alerts. But I'd like to know more about the story because I really don't know. Like, not about the protests in particular, but like exactly what went down with this whole. I don't know what the Egyptian laws are in respect to this. Like, there was not a lot of detail in the thing that I got.
Well,
but anyway.
If you know, give us a call. It's 421-621-9728.
Somebody's got to be
on the
browser.
412-621-9728. No, I believe it's illegal in Egypt to have gay sex. Uh-oh.
Oh,
this is fabulous.
We have a computer. Information.
We have a computer and it's on some kind of WLAN.
And it's up at hrc.org, isn't it?
Wow. So, well, let's close that HRC thing and get some hot, like, anime porn.
All right, hang on.
Dwarfporn.com? I heard that was a good site.
I'm going to look for Dragon Ball Z porn. Hang on.
We should talk about something while he uses his computer.
Yeah. Don't stop for me.
So I, as, like, sort of European, open-minded, straight guy, I have a question about you and your gay feelings.
Okay.
You're the European, open-minded, straight guy, not me.
Oh, I forgot.
And there's two questions. I mean, so since in the past you've said you're interested in you at least have an interest in the gay lifestyle or at least gay experiences. I'm wondering whether that's just a physical interest. You sort of want to know what it's like to sort of have sex with a man or, you know, have some specific sexual act, or whether you want to, like, experience, like, the kind of intimacy only two men can share emotionally, like in some kind of, you know, platonic or some sort of Greek ideal, right?
It wasn't a Greek ideal. It was total curiosity. A few years ago, I was wondering what it would be like, the physical experience, I suppose. That's what I was wondering.
So that kind of confuses me. Like, what, you know, why, given that we're just sort of, we human beings are just, you know, 200 pounds of meat with nerve endings, you can probably imagine, it probably doesn't feel that much different with a man than with a woman, right? I mean, it's like what were you...
Not the meat and the nerve endings, but the way a man behaves, I imagined. I have no idea. It's totally different. Perhaps it would be... I would be attracted to a manly man, I think, if I was going to go down that road. I imagine a little, not violence, but, you know, like, the shoulder is going over there now, kind of thing.
So you're looking for a little to be dominated, a little aggression, a little control.
Yeah,
a little,
I want to be able to respond too, so I'm not going to be submissive. But yeah, to maybe have somebody who has strength to have sex with, and also just that I'm fascinated by the idea of I still have no idea how. Well, I don't know. Like how a fist can go up an anus, for example. I don't know. I don't understand how it's possible. It's a wonder, this eighth wonder of nature, basically.
Yes. I mean, yeah. I think, right. I mean, I like to be an expert in all things, but I actually don't really know anything about fisting myself.
Well,
I think that's kind of
a specialized skill.
I was
trying to hide the fact that I've never had anal sex. So
right.
I cannot imagine that either.
Yeah. You can, I mean, Honus, DJ Honus, I think he'll help me out. I mean, I think that it's, right, in terms of the sort of the probability distribution of, like, the likelihood that a given person has performed a given act, I think it's much more likely that a person has had receptive anal intercourse than that a person has been receptively fisted. I think it's actually probably only a few people have been fisted because fists are pretty big.
But I was trying to explain my lack of understanding in terms that you might understand.
Right. And I don't think you did.
No? Well, perhaps the idea of anal sex is to me as incomprehensible, not from a, you know, just from a purely physical, logistical point of view, as to you fisting. You know it's possible.
You would
probably try, but...
I don't think I would try it, actually.
You know. Have you fisted or been fisted before?
No, I haven't. And I actually don't have...
Do I have much of an opinion?
I'm not interested in that. It seems a little bit too intense. It seems like the really kind of hardcore BDSM guys do that. I
imagine it hurts a lot.
I don't know. I mean, I assume once you work yourself up to it, practicing with...
When you reach the zenith of...
Right, you can eventually accommodate that kind of thing, but it... I have no interest. I mean, I hate to say this on the show because I want to be completely open-minded, but I personally just have no interest in going there at all. Have you had any...
This is turning out to be quite a grandmotherly or fatherly sort of show today, isn't it? We're not willing to try anything today.
Have you... Well...
Have you... You nodded no?
Fisted what?
Yeah. Have you fisted or been fisted?
No. Mm-mm.
Maybe somebody else out there has.
Perfectly fine thing if you want to do it, just not my thing.
So tell us about Egypt and the situation.
54 men arrested. It apparently was on a boat, the Queen boat. The law doesn't explicitly outlaw homosexuality, but it's like a crime against religion or something along those words. The police raided it and arrested anybody who looked gay or wasn't accompanied by a woman. And they've been detained. This was in May. And they've been detained since then. Supposedly, Amnesty International claims that there was some torturing and slapping, and there was all these medical examinations performed and extra charges added, and blah blah blah. Sounds pretty bad.
Why are we just hearing about it if it happened in May? I thought I just saw something on headline news the other day about this.
The trial is coming up.
The trial starts tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
So Amnesty International is usually very good at finding out who you should complain to. Somebody who can do something about it.
Yeah. Yeah,
so I would pay attention to them. But,
And also I thought it was interesting that when I went to Google and entered Egypt gay and arrest, I got an ad that said something like, just arrested? And it was for www.bestdefense.com. Just in case you've just been arrested.
What is the Egyptian match there?
Well, most of our listeners are actually already in prison, so I'm not sure that's that helps them.
Can they call us? They have access to
telephone. I don't know. In prison, you have to like work in the like license plate factory for like an hour to get the 25 cents that you need to make a phone call, and so they may not want to squander their.
They could call us collect. I think our producer would accept the charges.
I think he's shaking his head violently no, although maybe that's for some other reason.
But so anyway, when I asked you this before, but you realized you were attracted to men very early on, right?
Yeah, well, my development was pretty weird because, like, I mean, I think I pretty much knew... I mean, it's a combination because my, like... My sexual awakening itself was sort of delayed. I've always identified with, like... But the thing which was strange was that I always liked the other boys and sort of admired them, and it wasn't clearly a sexual thing, at least at first. I really liked certain boys a lot.
Were you looking for the intimacy that you...
I don't know.
Afterwards?
I mean, I just wanted to, like, be really good friends with certain people because they were so cool. Like, usually the... handsome and strong ones were very appealing to me, but I don't actually remember, thinking I want them to be my boyfriend or I want to have like hot, you know, sweaty sex with them. I didn't really.
Sounds like you weren't thinking that way even at college.
Well, it was weird. For the most part, I wasn't. I mean, somehow like all around me, 16 and 17 year olds were like. Thinking about sex all the time and having sex and like planning to have sex and scheming to have sex and like basically their minds were devoted to the sex quest. And I was like, I don't know, I was programming computers and playing video games and making home video movies and like just being like the super geek. And it wasn't like I consciously decided, I am too geeky to like be entitled to sex. I just somehow, like, you know, it just never occurred to me that that was an activity that I was entitled to. And, you know, even all through sort of college, it was still sort of, you know, I had these longings to be, like, friends with or special, you know, I wanted to be, like, special best friends with, like, various attractive young men, but it wasn't because, you know, I wasn't even really thinking about the sex act. I just wanted them to like me a lot.
Need for love.
Even now, all I really want is for people to like me.
Many people have that. Is this healthy? You think it served you well? It certainly can serve you well, right? It gets you things in a very prosaic way.
Yeah, it depends. I mean, I actually think, I mean, in some sense, it can work really well with certain people. Like, you know, if you have kind of a gift for, if you want people, if you really have this need to make people like you, you actually get kind of good at it. So certain people, you know, like you can make friends with the cashier at Giant Eagle. Like, you know, it's really easy to talk to random people because you become kind of an expert at being likable.
Well, you can turn that around. You're an expert at being sensitive, at understanding what they like,
yeah,
and what they need to hear. And that's not a bad thing. If you don't use it totally for your exclusive benefit, I suppose.
Right. I mean, it is bad in certain ways because, like, one of the things that I do to sort of befriend people is reveal a vulnerability, right? Sort of show my soft underbelly, and for some people that's very disarming, right? You reveal some vulnerability about themselves, and then they like you more because they think you're more human or whatever. But it can be sort of toxic. And for example, the computer science department at Carnegie Mellon University, it's a mistake to ever show anybody your vulnerability because the the faculty will use it against you forever, basically, because they will think you are weak. And in the business world and in the computer science department at Carnegie Mellon University, you know, you have to like have this image of being sort of effective and aggressive and really have it all together.
I don't think that's correct, actually. But
really?
Yeah.
Well, you're wrong. Just kidding.
What would I know about that department anyway?
So what have you found? Dwarf porn? Does dwarfporn.com exist?
I don't know.
Well, you've got a computer.
If it does exist, are you going to register it?
Which one?
Dwarfporn.com.
I'm sure it exists.
I'd be pretty willing to bet that it exists.
Yeah.
Hopefully this is going to download, like, the Code Red virus or one of those viruses into our producer's computer. That'd be really cool.
There are 13.
If it asks you if you want, if it asks you if you want any Java permissions, just say yes to all. That's the button to press.
Yes, it is a real site, and there's a link to 13 different pictures. Would you like to see one?
Yeah, dwarf. Maybe we can get dwarfporn.com to
sponsor us.
Yeah.
The links are all about giving you ads.
All about what?
Just clicking on the links for pictures just brings up an ad.
Actually, you know, I want to actually, in our final few moments on the show, I actually want to go on record with this because I want to get the story straight for all time. Did you or did you not own the domain sex.com?
I did.
Sex.com?
Yeah. This was before the recent litigation.
And this is before the internet was just like, before it was obvious that it would be valuable to hang on. So when did you have this thing?
Pre-web.
This is about the time the web was starting in a few places. So at the time there was still a list, an exhaustive list of websites.
So like 94.
Before you had to pay to own a domain name, yes. And then they started charging, and I was poor, and I decided that I couldn't afford it.
If only you knew.
If I only I knew, yes. But there were millions of other people who could have done the same thing and didn't do it either. So at least I registered it for a year, which is more than you can say.
I never registered sex.com, that's true.
Yeah. Anyway.
Did you have anything on it? Did you at least have a website up? Did it respond?
I just had a face. Oh, my goodness. Okay. that was my lawyer calling about sex.com, I think.
I wonder, like, how much do you think you'd be if you'd kept that? I mean, I want to go back in time.
There's a record. Somebody stole the domain from somebody else. He spent many years in court about it, and he just settled for some amount. It's a matter of public record. It's on the newspapers. But I don't know. It was like a couple of million dollars. U.S. Yeah.
All right. Well, it's midnight. I think we have to put this baby to bed. Sex talk. This is WRCT Pittsburgh. Do I have to do that? Am I still on?
Hello, is this? You're listening to a production of WRCT.